coming soon to own on video and DVD.
When I look out into your eyes out there, when I look out into your faces, you know what I see? I see a little bit of Elvis in each and every one of you out there. Let me tell you, well, Elvis is everywhere.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen.
Michael J. Fox has no Elvis in him.
Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for and Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit. Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
Well, thank you, man.
It is the moment you have been waiting for since we started Elvis Month. We talked about Elvis movies, movies with Elvis. Now we're talking about a movie about Elvis. It is finally here. It has been seen, and we are here to review it. Let's chat about motherfucking Elvis.
Motherfucking Elvis!
Leanne Foster, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am very well. I would say that this movie... It's a pretty special movie in the realm of Huntsville Home Video. By the way, Welcome to Huntsville Home Video.
Yeah, we didn't say who we were.
No.
What our podcast was. We didn't get into any of that.
Fuck it.
No, fuck them.
They know by this point.
They know what's going
100
on.
100 some hot episodes in.
And if you're starting here, you dumbass.
Yeah.
Enjoy some Elvis.
Yeah, and welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, welcome.
This is... very Endgame-esque for us for a number of reasons. One, because very rarely do we do a theme month on Huntsville Home Video. We did it for the Marvel movies.
We did a bunch of months for the Marvel movies.
Yep.
And but then, other than that, did we do anything else?
Like Halloween.
We did Halloween, but that was its own special project.
Right. Yep. This also the only movie other than Endgame, which you and I have watched together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We also got to give... Oh, go ahead.
And we also watched it at the same time, a movie you hadn't seen, and then we saw it together since it was in the theater.
Uh-huh. No, normally we show you movies that you've never seen. Now, of course, we're talking about a movie that neither one of us has seen.
Baby!
That's right. We like to keep things fresh. Also, we want to give a huge shout out at the top of the show to Michael at Underboss Photography, our show sponsor, who bought us tickets to the show, and he came with us to the show.
He did. We had a group outing. It was me and my two boys, and we got to go to the movies together. He bought our tickets, which is very generous.
Yeah, thank you, Michael, for that. Also, very glad that you were there for it for some reasons that we will talk about later while we were reviewing this movie. But let's get right into it. Leanne Foster, my sister in Christ, what did you think of Baz Luhrmann's Elvis?
Well, Jack Spade, my brother in Christ, I will tell you what I think the people have already judged by our demeanor, that it was fucking phenomenal.
So good.
Yeah. I speak for both of us when I say that, correct?
Absolutely.
I do.
Also, spoilers, I knew what you thought about it because we saw the movie together.
But we have to do that for dramatic effect.
That's right.
That's what they call it in the old movie biz.
Keep you hanging, keep you on pins and needles.
Right.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, this movie, spectacular. The performances, amazing. The cinematography, amazing. Yep. Oscars all going to Elvis.
Absolutely, it should. A.K.A. Austin Butler, A.K.A. Elvis Presley.
Absolutely.
He was Elvis motherfucking Presley.
Right?
Jesus Christ. Oh,
did you, at certain points, did it just kind of blur out for you that, oh shit, this is someone playing Elvis?
There were times where I literally questioned and I was like, I can't believe this is not Elvis. Because that's always my beef. I'm always like, they don't move right. They don't, whatever. And then there were times where I'm like, I don't know if that was Austin Butler or actually Elvis. Mm-hmm. I'm watching an Elvis movie with Elvis playing Elvis at times.
And not only that, but in the early years, when they're portraying the 50s and 60s, it's actually Austin Butler singing as Elvis.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And... I mean, that sounds pretty good.
It's some of the closest I think I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty damn good for him. Can you imagine him undertaking that? Can you imagine the nerves that must have had to be, I mean, the whole thing, but then to sing as Elvis, but he did a damn fine job.
Now, I've heard stories in the past about actors going that deep into a role. Most notably for me, Heath Ledger as the Joker. You know, right. He barricaded himself into a hotel for like 13 weeks and wrote a notebook as the Joker and put himself into the Joker's head. And in the end, we got one of the most amazing performances ever on film.
Right.
Austin Butler did very similar. You know, he studied everything that could possibly be seen or heard about Elvis, and I think it definitely paid off.
Absolutely. Even, I mean, you still hear it in his voice.
Yeah.
He can't get out of Elvis mode, which is fascinating.
Which, to be fair, sometimes when I see him in interviews now, I think of Robert Downey Jr. from Tropic Thunder. I don't drop character till I do the DVD commentary.
I forgot about that. That's fantastic.
Like
that's
how method Austin Butler has gone.
Got it.
But leading up to the movie, Lisa Marie and Priscilla, everyone saying how amazing Austin Butler was. They were singing the praises of the movie, but especially Austin Butler. And now we have seen it and we can confirm, holy shit.
He captures the spirit, the enigma, the charisma of Elvis Presley.
And once that we talked a little bit after the movie while we were trying to collect ourselves.
Because I want to say this, because you had a really great idea before we were going to come in and record right after we saw the movie.
Yep.
Okay. That was the original plan. That was Jack Spade's plan. And I was like, that's a fucking phenomenal idea. And then when we were outside, the three of us trying to talk about what we just saw, I felt so exhausted.
Yeah.
Like the emotions. I was so drained. I had a headache. I had cried so much. I was like, we can't do that. But yes, we were trying to get our thoughts together.
We were trying.
While
yeah.
I was sitting against a post or on a concrete wall, like trying to hide how much I was still weeping. That's where we were at the end of the movie.
This movie got emotional.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
Yeah.
But yeah, when, you know, when we were talking a little bit after the fact, you know, we talked about how the movie, his performance, it wasn't as much of a cartoon or a caricature as other people. It was very subdued, but still Elvis, you know, because whenever anyone does an Elvis impersonation, they always go wild with the motions, with the gestures. And Austin's were very on stage. I mean, Elvis was a wild man on stage, and Austin Butler captured that when he was just off stage, when he was gesturing to people or whatever. It wasn't as wild.
No, it was and which was perfect.
Yeah,
it was so real. It was so fucking real, dude. Just and in the way he did his shoulder, you know, just like just shit that you know we've seen a million times. And it was just so real.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It wasn't so hokey. There was nothing hokey about this movie.
No, and I loved the cinematography of it. Mm-hmm. I like how Baz Luhrmann, when we're in the 50s, how it looks like a photograph from the 50s.
It does. The colors and everything. That's exactly what it looks like.
And then it moves to the, you know, the 70s, and it looks like video from the 70s. You see certain like news footage and things that was recreated. It wasn't actual news footage, but it looks like it's from the 70s, and it looks like the time period that it's in. Phenomenal cinematography, phenomenal sense of style, and Baz Luhrmann has that. He brings that to the table with, you know, his movies like Moulin Rouge and Strictly Ballroom, like all these other films that he's kind of known for.
I feel like he's flashy, the right amount of flashy for Elvis flashy.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That is exactly where I was going, because now that we've seen the movie, going into it, if you said, hey, Jack, they're going to make an Elvis movie, who would you get to direct an Elvis movie? I would have a hard time giving you a director, and I probably wouldn't have picked Baz Luhrmann, but now nobody else can ever direct another Elvis movie except for Baz Luhrmann.
This is it. This is the end.
I mean, this was almost tailor-made for someone with his sensibilities.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree 100%. Yeah.
And that being said, my God, do I need to find that pink suit that Elvis had in like 56, 57, because that's a good fucking look.
It's a fantastic look.
Great suit.
Elvis never had a bad look. I don't care how gaudy it got.
No. And they got gaudy.
And they got, there was a couple of them that got a little rough.
But holy shit, did that man pull it off?
Mm-hmm. Put a tiger on a jumpsuit. Boy can wear it.
Fuck yes. Like we
have that weird scoop with the chest hair. Doesn't fucking matter. Nope. It fucking works, bro.
I see you, King.
I see you, King.
It looks good on you. Elvis notably was surrounded by yes men.
Right.
And there were people like Sonny, like Jerry, they approved those suits.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Fuck it. They look great.
The only the king can wear them.
Yeah.
And they knew that. Yeah.
let's talk a little bit about some of the inaccuracies.
Yeah.
With Elvis, because there are some. You we touched on that a little bit when we were outside the theater talking. You didn't know a couple of them or too many of them. What did you pick up?
I think the timeline. Well, I might be wrong. I know that the 68 comeback special was highly dramatized.
Very much
with
so.
Because that's not how that went.
Yep.
But I see why they filmed that in concurrence with one another, if that's the correct word. I don't know the English language. I don't really remember. And the assassinations, was that timeline right?
No.
He didn't die while he was making the 68 comeback. That wasn't
it was. So it was Martin Luther King that was assassinated leading up to the 68 comeback
right.
special, because
right.
that's why Elvis decided to sing If I Can Dream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It so, wasn't Robert Kennedy.
Right. Because
that's what they showed in the movie, that happened during the filming of the comeback special.
Yeah, they said that MLK was assassinated first, and then Bobby Kennedy during the making, mm-hmm. which wasn't exactly accurate.
Correct.
Just the whole making of that in general
mm-hmm.
was very inaccurate.
Right.
Not to the point where I'm just like, bleh, fucking bleh.
No.
But it was, like you said, it was done for dramatic effect.
They filmed it as though it was like a coup against Tom Parker.
Right.
And that's not exactly how that went.
No.
Right. They didn't sabotage him while they were filming that.
Right.
Right.
And also on the Colonel Tom note, they do play him up very villainous in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think more villainous than he was in real life, even though he was kind of a creepy shithead.
He was a shit, man.
And, you know, fucked Elvis out of a lot. But in regards to the 68 comeback special, that was a time when Elvis actually said, no, this is
right.
what we're doing.
Right.
You know, that whole meeting at the Hollywood sign, mm-hmm. that never happened.
That didn't happen.
That was done
right.
for dramatic right. effect. But again, not deal breakers.
No.
You know, mm-hmm. Elvis.
Because I understood what he was trying to portray, that this was a time when he took control.
Right.
And I was like, okay, that's perfectly represented in that. Even though it's not accurate, I see why it was represented that
yeah.
way.
Yeah. And also the making, the creation of the 68 comeback special, not as dramatic as it was in the
no.
movie. And you need
no.
some drama for the movie.
Right.
Also, Elvis didn't go into the military because of that concert where he was arrested.
Like, no.
Elvis was drafted.
Right.
And like went.
I took it as Parker pushed him into going into the draft, but I didn't think that was correct. Also, in the show where he moved his finger, he didn't go all out during that show, did he? Or did he, the way it was filmed?
Because
I thought he stayed tame when he did the little finger wave. I thought that was just his one little
yeah.
rebel.
And also, they didn't show at all his appearance on the Ed Sullivan show. That was the super famous one where they shot him from the waist
right.
up. That wasn't in the movie. I don't think he went as crazy as he did during that particular concert, mm-hmm. but I think there was
right
because it was the 50s and people are just as dumb and stupid as they are now.
Correct.
Like I thought when I was sitting there watching that movie and there was actual politicians holding rallies against Elvis Presley because of the way he was moving.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, man, I'm glad we've gotten over that shit in 2022. Oh, wait.
Huh. No, never mind.
Man, what a week to be alive in America.
If there is one thing that this podcast has proven time and time again, is that nothing changes. How many times? That's been one of our most common phrases here. How many times have we said, nothing's changed?
Yeah.
Still the same shit.
Wait, when did this movie come out? Oh, in the 80s?
Ah!
What are things? Oh, fuck. Time is a circle.
Oops.
We are stuck in a loop.
Big oof.
We're caught in a trap. We can't get out.
We can't walk out.
The use of suspicious minds. I want to talk about that for a second.
Okay.
Because that was brilliant, I thought. So we get to the point in the movie where Elvis is in Vegas. He's on stage at the International and starts singing Suspicious Minds while in the audience, Colonel Tom is kind of railroading Elvis into a 5-year deal to play at the International. Elvis wants to go. He wants to go international, not the hotel, right, but like worldly international. He wants to go see other countries. He wants to perform in other countries. And Colonel Tom wants to keep him here. And the use of that song, like Elvis is on stage literally singing, "We're caught in a trap." Yep. You cut to Colonel Tom cutting this bullshit deal. Yeah. And it's like, wow, that was fucking brilliant. That gave me goosebumps.
I think other than the end, that was the most heartbreaking part of the movie. That one hit me. Now, when we got the first time I watched it, I didn't cry as much the second time, but I did cry a lot.
Yeah.
You weren't with me the second time. When we hit the 68 comeback special, that's when I started crying, and then I didn't really stop until the end of the movie. But the way they shot that of Elvis being, he had built the show, he's on the stage, and then that fucking weasel just totally railroading him was amazingly sad.
And
it was so sad, it was so beautifully done, but it was so fucking sad.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's one of those situations where you're watching something as an audience, and you know what's happening. Your character doesn't know what's happening. And even though going into the movie, I mean, you and I still know what happened in real life, but you're still just like, God, like, how can we change this?
Right.
Can we change it? Can we fix this?
I wanted to yell and be like, look behind you.
Right.
I mean, it was so bad. It was so bad. Also, speaking of that scene, that was when I knew how bad of a dude that guy was. They definitely amped him up, like we said, but I knew he was a bad dude. I didn't know he had a gambling habit. I missed that part. I didn't know that about him.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they cleared his debts. And
now, I don't know if that
or maybe that wasn't part of the deal.
I don't know if that's actually factual. I know later on when Elvis has a meltdown on stage and fires Colonel Tom on stage, that never happened.
Okay. That's what I wanted to ask about because I had never heard of that before and I'd never seen, and I thought, well, I've never seen footage of it because when did we record everything back in those days?
Right.
But I was curious if that really happened.
No, I don't think that was a thing because I've read a couple books regarding Colonel Tom and that was never mentioned in anything. Mm-hmm. And with YouTube nowadays, you'd at least figure someone would have done something on
it.
But to my knowledge, that's not a thing.
But what a scene that was.
Oh, dude, it was good.
Rageful Elvis. God damn.
Dude.
He even had the rage down.
Yeah.
Like there's something like that hit me so hard the second time. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah. He brought it heavy.
Yeah.
A vengeful Elvis is something that.
Right.
Woo.
And he never got out of character, no matter how he went, whether he went rageful or he went whatever. He didn't falter. He wasn't shaky on anything.
Now, what we talked again after the flick when we were standing around, my only complaint, it's not even really a complaint, but the movie goes full steam from the word go.
Yeah.
We gloss over a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot that's missed. There's in my opinion, there's not enough time to develop certain characters that I really wish we would have gotten more time with.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that we would have gotten more Elvis and Priscilla.
Yeah.
We didn't get hardly any.
We got hardly any Priscilla in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got her at certain points, but I didn't feel like she got enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is about the relationship between Elvis and Colonel Tom.
Right.
But even there, I thought some things could have been fleshed out a little further. Like if that's the route you were going to go, you could have just eliminated certain plots altogether, I feel.
Right.
But I've also now heard that Baz Luhrmann has said there's a 4-hour cut of this movie.
There's 4 hours.
I want it.
They filmed the Nixon.
They did.
They did, but they cut that out, and they cut out apparently a lot of Colonel Tom and the band and the boys. They cut that out, too.
Yeah.
I wanted more Memphis Mafia.
Yes.
I wanted more of that shit. I think we talked about, I mean, they kind of represented the people that leached off. I mean, it's mostly about how Parker leached off of him and took what he took from him.
Yep.
But you kind of get glimpses of, because every time you go to Graceland, you see everybody out there playing around and just full of people and all that shit. So you see that a little bit, but it's not really discussed.
Yeah.
The way everybody around him was.
And they kind of play up his inner circle as the crew that's getting him to try to break away from Colonel Tom.
Right.
Like they're portrayed as the good guy. Elvis, wake up, see what this dude is doing to you.
Yeah.
And this and that. But I mean, even at the same time, like a lot of those dudes were kind of getting their paydays too.
Mm-hmm. So, and his daddy, in a way.
Yeah. I mean, everyone.
Oh, speaking of which, I didn't know, and unless this is inaccurate, I didn't know his mama drank. His mom is portrayed in the movie as a drinker.
Yeah.
As a little bit of a drinker. And to the point where he yells at her at one point after they get moved into Graceland.
That much I don't know.
Okay. All right. I was curious if that was true or not, because I knew how much he loved and worshiped his mother, but right. But of course, I only knew the angelic version of her because
right.
that's what
yeah,
Elvis
yeah, yeah.
saw. You know, so I was curious about that. I didn't know if you knew if that was real or not.
No, I don't. I honestly
that was
don't,
just one of those really well-kept secrets, you know?
I honestly don't know. Other than the fact that his mom died when Elvis was young, I don't know too much about her.
Okay.
You know, because in all the reading that I've done about Elvis, that was one of those things where it's like, well, she's dead early on, you know, and then that's everything after that is kind of when he starts to go down the path to like superstardom.
Right.
And like, that's the kind of stuff that more fascinates me.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't really read a lot on his parents.
Gotcha.
I do know that it, like he was super fond of his grandmother, who was in the movie, but like didn't really get any play at all. I wish she would have gotten a little bit more time. Cause I mean, she's buried at Graceland along with Elvis and, you know, mom and pop.
Yeah.
So I wish we would have got more of that. But yeah, like you said, I wish we would have got more of the Memphis Mafia. Mm-hmm. Wish we would have got more Priscilla. There were a few things that I wish just we could have had time to slow down and flesh out.
Right. That was my big worry. Because at the beginning, it hauls ass. It really does go so fucking fast. And there's a lot of Colonel Tom in that beginning. That's why I was scared initially, like, because you and I both said at one point we were like, oh, God, I'm scared. I don't know. I didn't know how this was going to turn out. And it does. It just goes so fucking fast at the beginning. And there's a point where it starts to slow down. But it's just like, you know, I know I know the cliff notes and everything. But it's like, can we just tone it down?
Yeah.
You know that. But so I agree with you.
But now that being said, our buddy Michael, who doesn't know as much about Elvis as we do, he actually liked everything because, you know, you and I going into this, like we knew a lot of the stuff. So we knew where things were going. We knew what was happening. Michael didn't.
Right.
Which I thought was a unique perspective from someone, you know, with his point of view going into this movie, wanting to know more about Elvis. And he thought it was very well done. And he learned kind of. You know, granted, at a rapid pace, he still felt he learned everything there was to know about this particular story about Elvis.
And he also mentioned that it inspires him to want to go and research more and really see the behind the scenes, because to see how things really lined up in the background,
which is
awesome,
which is what you and I have mentioned before. We are hoping that younger people going to this movie aim to do.
Yes. And yes. And see where he came from and how he did what he did, you know?
Now, when we went Thursday night, it was kind of a mixed audience. We had people, you know, my age, like in 40s, your age, 30s. There were younger people than that sitting next to you.
Yeah.
And then there were also older people down front. So like a wide mix of people, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
What was your second audience like?
It was the same.
Yeah.
Because I definitely looked and I was like, all right, who am I around? And there, like, I saw some Elvis decals I saw some older gentlemen with a little, what I would say would be kind of flashy shirts for the time. I'm like, big patterns, like it. This is good. So I'd see them strolling in with their couple of generations after them, right? And the wife. And then these kind of like middle-aged ladies with their purses and shit who have to turn on the light on their phone to get out of the movie theater to go pee. That's what we had. We had dad with all like four kids. Like, it was everybody. And also Michael was at that one. He was like, I see somebody walking in the theater. He was also there with his wife. So it was also a mixed audience.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good deal. Our buddy Jimbo, who is also an Elvis aficionado, he loved the movie. He thought it was great. We briefly teased this at the end of last week's episode. Our buddy Jimbo has the actual bead from one of Elvis's suits.
I'm so jealous of
that. I know. Apparently a friend of his purchased one of Elvis's suits, a suit that is not in Graceland, a suit that Graceland has tried to buy from this individual many times.
Oh, wow.
And he's just like, no, I'm good.
I don't think you could give me any amount of money, and I'm struggling right now. If I own something of Elvis's, do you think I would give that up? Not on a chance.
I would, just because I know where it would be going.
That's true.
And especially with all of the care that Graceland has now put into Elvis's artifacts, I would basically sell it on the condition that A, you're going to give me X amount of dollars for it, and B, I want a VIP pass to Graceland anytime I show up.
Anytime. And also, once a month, I get to come in, expenses paid, and I get to put it on.
Yep.
I get to touch it, and then I can go.
God, I don't even know if I wouldn't feel worthy.
Yeah, but you had already owned it, so.
True.
You know?
But I mean.
I would touch it.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't put it on, though.
No. I reworded it. I wouldn't wear it either, but yeah. I would touch it.
Yeah.
I would definitely stand among it. You know,
but yeah, so apparently that suit that this dude owns, apparently a bead came off of it and he sent that to our buddy Jimbo.
Right.
And that's
what's in the little case, isn't it? And it's like its own little case.
Yeah.
God,
that is amazing. A bead.
Okay. Think about this. You're talking about an individual who had a bead fall off of an outfit and it was so important. It got put into a glass case for display.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about when we're talking about fucking Elvis Presley.
Only Elvis.
Who else?
Yeah. You could tell me that, hey, this is a bead from one of the suits that was used in the making of the movie. And I'd be like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd maybe like put it, like glue it to a magnet and put it on my fridge.
Right.
But if it was actually Elvis's suit, that would be going into Fort Knox.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Damn.
So good.
That's so damn good.
Was there anything that you hoped that they had touched on more in the movie that maybe didn't get discussed or touched upon?
I don't know. I'm pretty damn satisfied with it. My big thing going into it, remember, was the comeback special. Yep. I wanted that, and I got enough of that. I got that. I can't really think of anything. I didn't think about this potential question.
I mean, they completely blew past Aloha from Hawaii, and I know that's your jam.
No, they did. They did. They talked about it.
They talked about it, but they blew right past it. Like, oh, by the way, we did this satellite thing. We had 1.6 billion people. Deuces.
Yeah.
We got musical numbers all the way throughout the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, we got a lot from the 68 comeback special, which we should have, because in my opinion, that was the greatest thing musically that Elvis ever did.
Absolutely.
He never sounded better. The whole production was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
I've got that special edition on DVD. There's like 5 different discs that come with it. They've got everything.
Nice.
Like rehearsals. And special features and outtakes and the little stuff in the round he's doing with the band, like all of those performances.
I need that.
I'll get that to you.
Will you let me borrow it?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so good.
I just have the vinyl on my wall. That's it.
But yeah, I'm really glad. And it's so important to who Elvis was and what catapulted him into the stratosphere.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they did a really good job of showing that in the movie.
Right.
One thing that they did in this movie that that really hit me, you know, we talked about that Suspicious Minds part, you know, that hit you really heavy. The part that hit me is when Elvis is trying to get out of Graceland, the gates are swarmed by fans, and he's just hitting the radio, and every fucking station is playing his music, and he is frustrated with it. Like, he doesn't want anything to do with it.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that hit hard as well.
Yeah.
The way he's hitting those damn buttons, like, and oh my God. And that's at the time where isn't that also the time where they had the signs where it's like, we don't like the new Elvis?
Yeah.
That was, yeah.
Because
they're tamed down Elvis.
Because, yeah, they're trying to push the, you know, oh, we can't have all this hip-shaking, sexualized person
right.
because he's blowing up uteruses out here. We can't have that.
he was.
He sure was. Some of the ways that they filmed women going absolutely nuts for mm-hmm. him was... A, it was filmed beautifully. B, if you ever go back and look at archive footage, I mean, that shit happened.
It's accurate.
That was accurate.
They'd never seen anything like that.
Did you notice, too, that they even had a dude at
yes.
one point?
There's two times where there was a dude that you could tell was questioning.
Yeah.
The other one is, it was because I caught it the second time, when he's at the International and he's doing poke salad Annie and he puts the microphone in his mouth, it cuts to a dude who's like, oh.
Oh, I didn't see that
yes,
one. I missed that one.
What? When you watch it again, wait for that because he does, you know, he puts that microphone in his mouth and there's a guy that's like slightly elated, like, ah.
Oh.
Oh,
my.
It was really funny to me. I caught it the second time. Oh, gosh. What were we talking about?
Elvis.
Oh, yeah, that's right. when they straightened him up and they were making him or Colonel Parker was making him the family man. And it was super frustrating. And yeah, but him banging on those damn buttons and he was on all of them. It's like, you know, that probably really happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just could not even remotely fathom that.
Right.
Like, because again, we've talked in the past how this was the first dude to be that famous.
Right.
And we got a little bit of how he dealt with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the things they maybe could have delved more into. But again, that wasn't this particular movie. So.
They didn't get into the grit.
Yeah.
That is one thing they did, which is fine. We figured they wouldn't do that
yeah.
going into it. But they definitely strayed away from his paranoia and his kind of out there moments.
Even the drug use was pretty tamed down.
Very
in
tame.
This. Very just like, you know, oh, here's a packet of pills and I'm putting them in my mouth and then I'm moving on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they introduce
the doctor.
Dr. Nick, that son of a bitch,
yeah.
Basically the man who many blame for the death of Elvis because he would just prescribe him
mm-hmm.
fucking whatever.
Right.
The pill count that he prescribed Elvis was astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
And the dude was still able to practice medicine until the 90s when he had his license revoked.
Jesus Christ.
Fucking criminal.
Yeah.
But yeah, they didn't, they kind of glossed over that a little bit. I felt, the end years, as they were creeping up on him in the movie, like we knew they were coming
mm-hmm.
and they hit hard. I think they could have hit harder.
Yeah,
I really do.
It was very emotional anyway, but it was a glossy portrayal.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was still a shiny portrayal of how bad it really was.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And so many people, when even now, when a musician takes off or a celebrity takes off, if they're having troubles and they're in the spotlight, oh, they're in trouble for this or in trouble for that, they always break out all these cautionary tales of celebrities past. And I feel Elvis was the first cautionary tale, and they really could have done more with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't necessarily like to see that from the king, but it happened.
Right.
It's in the, like, why gloss over it?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. But still, it was emotional what we got.
Oh, it still was. It's
yeah.
like.
Two, it still ripped my heart out.
Two blubbering idiots we were in that movie theater.
Yeah.
God
damn. I didn't know. I was afraid to ask you if you were crying because I couldn't tell.
Yeah,
I couldn't. I never saw your hand move. I was looking for your hand to wipe tears away, and I didn't see it. But
it was
probably there. I know you probably because I was like, Jack should probably be crying. I think he might be, but I never saw it.
There was a couple times where, like, out of the corner of my eye, I thought you were looking over, so I tried to look away because I figured if you saw me crying, that would make you cry hard. Because like I heard you crying.
My whole body hurt.
I was trying to keep it together for you. But there was a couple times where I was just like, oh, God. Like, in So there's a scene where Elvis is dropping off Lisa Marie.
And
he's in the limo. He's about to get on his plane. The way that that was filmed, the music that's playing, I was just like, oh, God damn it. Fuck, man. Mm-hmm. And you know that probably happened.
Yeah.
Like, that was a thing. Like, Priscilla was just trying to save Elvis, even though they weren't married at the time. Like, that's your daughter's father.
Right.
You're probably one of the few people in existence that see him in the trouble that he's in, right, and that sees the, you know,
his own dad didn't. His own dad didn't even respond.
And
you know, he didn't. But she did. I always, the thing that symbolizes their relationship to me is that damn picture of them after they got their divorce and they're walking out holding hands. Do you remember that photo?
Yep.
Like, that's so good. But yeah, that scene where she's trying to get him to go somewhere to get off the pills, to go to rehab, to get some rest and relaxation. And
it's just too far gone at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck.
And that's where they talk about A Star Is Born.
Yep.
Because Colonel Tom wouldn't let him do that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. That would have been amazing.
That bit right there, I was just like, oh, fuck, here we go.
Yeah.
Just fucking lost it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, and then I ugly cried from then on.
Yeah.
That amped it up.
Because what they did, like, so they talk about when Elvis gets on his plane, the narration in the movie is done by Colonel Tom.
Yeah. Oh, when he mouths to her, I don't know if that's real, but God damn it.
Oh, that
when
fucking hurt.
They get in the limo and then they get out on the different sides and he goes one way and she starts going the other side and he gets to the steps and he looks at her and he was like, I will always love you.
Yep. That was, yep.
It's so sad.
Like, I know you were heavy crying there. I was losing it too, but I also did the elbow up and two fingers on the
smart
temple. I was like, no, I got to save. Like, Lily can't see this.
No, I was like sniffling, like trying to hold it together. And like, even when I wasn't really crying, there were still just tears running down my face. And I'm like, why won't this stop?
Yeah.
But that hit hard. When he does that to her.
And yeah, that hits super hard. And then, so like I said, Colonel Tom is doing the narration in this movie. Elvis gets on the plane, and then he talks about how he died shortly thereafter.
Right.
You know?
Thank God they didn't show the death. We didn't need it.
No.
I didn't need that.
Like, we didn't need it. And also, they didn't, I completely forget her name now, but the girl that Elvis was seeing at the time, like the one Ginger, that was it. The one, like, they never even introduced her in the movie. Like, she wasn't a character.
Is she the one in the car with him at that one time?
Maybe
he goes up to Graceland and there's a girl in the car, and I want to see, that's either her or maybe it had red hair like Anne Margaret. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Timeline.
But yeah, they never introduced her. They didn't show the scene, which is completely fine. Don't need to see it. Just the narration hit hard enough,
mm-hmm,
you know? And then Colonel Tom talks about how, you know, before that happened though, and he gives a little bit about, one of the last concerts he sees Elvis at when he did Unchained Melody.
Mm-hmm.
And so it starts as Austin Butler, but then we get Elvis.
Right. The music hits and then it changes to real Elvis. And God almighty, did that hit you?
Fuck. Dead. Done. Dead. Like, as you were blubbering, like, that was it for me. I was like, oh, shit, there it is. Just.
It's already sad anyway, because you knew where he was at. And you saw Elvis is still fucking Elvis, and he's amazing regardless. But, you know, everybody knows what he looks like when he did that Unchained Melody performance.
And
and how bad a shape he was.
As a listener, have never seen that.
Look
hit
it up.
Pause right now. YouTube that shit.
Right.
Because it's, I hate to say, but almost laughable, the condition of Elvis. He's mm-hmm super puffy, ridiculously overweight, like just squeezing into one of those jumpsuits. He's got Coke glasses all over the piano.
Yeah.
He's sweating buckets. He sits down, Charlie Hodge holding his microphone. He's like, all right, man, I'm gonna try to get through this here.
Drained.
Okay. Like, just mumbling but as soon as he starts tickling them ivories, holy shit, the voice of a fucking angel comes out of that man. And it's spectacular. And then we get, just archival footage of the king when he was like young Elvis, old Elvis, like everything in the middle, all to Unchained Melody. And there it is. We fucking cried on this podcast. God damn it.
It's just so beautiful. It's so sad. And it's so beautiful. But yeah, when they show him the real Elvis, it's just like, I just felt it all over my entire body. I think I even did one of those, oh, it got me. And then to hear his real voice talking about, you know, sing it, it would be, you know, like the day doesn't end if you don't have a song to sing or something like that. I can't remember exactly what he said, but Jesus.
Yeah, so that voiceover was from when Memphis made it, I was like, they either made it like Elvis Presley Day or like it was something about an honor that Memphis bestowed upon Elvis, and he was giving a speech, okay, the Memphis Chamber of Commerce or
gotcha,
whatever. So that's what that speech is from.
Yeah.
Done fucking beautifully. And then in a nice touch, I thought this was a great piece of cinematography. So we get some text on the screen about Colonel Tom, about how, you know, he settled with Elvis Presley's estate, how he basically took 50% of Elvis's earnings during the course of their, you know, their relationship or whatever. And that's all done. All that text just comes in like dull white. Mm-hmm. And then they talk about Elvis in text, mm-hmm, and it's all solid gold.
Yeah.
Like, fuck,
that was
yes,
great.
That was such a nice touch, mm-hmm, little touch, done, but it was fucking great.
Is it true about, speaking about expenses with Colonel Tom Parker, is it true that he gave Elvis this list of expenses that would have, because he tried to fire him at one point, at least in the movie, he tried to fire him. And or he does successfully, but that was that ran on stage. So I guess maybe this didn't happen.
I don't think so.
But in the movie, he basically fires Colonel Tom. And so Colonel Tom sits and he goes over all of these expenses dating back to 1955.
Yeah.
And then
he goes from the gas that it took to get to the very first concert in 55, 56.
$1.25.
What a piece of shit.
Whatever buttons, $100. Whatever this, $100. And comes up with a list of expenses that he supposedly gives his daddy, the business manager. And it's like over $8 million. Everything's gone. Everything would have been gone.
I want to say that was all kind of dramatized for the sake of the movie.
Gotcha.
You know, like we mentioned, they really did villainize.
They made him to be a super villain and a super predator.
Uh-huh.
Like a predator more than anything, like getting his claws into Elvis. Because there's a scene where he keeps trying to find Elvis alone at the carnival so that he can dig his claws into him. And just the way it's filmed when he's trying to come up behind him and then like gets him in the mirror house.
Yep.
You know, it's like, it's super predator vibes.
Very much.
Very much so.
And all of that, even the Ferris wheel, none of that happened.
Right.
But yes, very, yeah, like just twirling that mustache.
Yeah.
You know, very, very well done. I thought Tom Hanks did good as Colonel Tom. Like Tom Hanks doesn't really play many shitheads.
Right.
You know, that's not really his style. Mm-hmm. And to see him as this kind of creepy, you know, like you said, predator.
Right.
Type.
He wasn't even human.
No.
He was not human in this movie.
So manipulative, always looking to cut everyone else off from Elvis, always looking to just keep his cash cow protected.
And how he, and again, this is just in the movie, but how he takes advantage of these situations. He took advantage of, at least in the movie, like, you know, we know about Jesse, who passed, the twin,
yep,
right? So he uses the words when he's trying to get Elvis to sign the contract of, like, he's got the power of two men in this boy.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, shit. Then when his mother dies, you know, how he makes the dad the business manager, like it's a family thing. Then when the mom dies, how he swoops in to all these situations, like, holy shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what's wild is, for as shitty as Colonel Tom was, for as much money as he took from Elvis that he did not rightfully earn, It really is a case of without Colonel Tom, we might not have had the Elvis that we had.
No, you had that was the other thing I was thinking about the whole movie. It's like, oh my God, this guy's awful. But without Tom Parker,
yeah,
where would we have had Elvis? We wouldn't have had that Elvis.
No, it's insane to think.
It just fucks your brain up to try to think about that. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
You know?
Unbelievable.
God.
Let's talk about that soundtrack for a minute.
Fantastic.
Holy shit.
Now, I have listened to it probably not as much as you. I've been listening to actual Elvis. But holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
I think my favorite is Power of My Love with Jack White.
Jack White, yep.
Mm-hmm. That's the
banger.
Best one.
That's a banger.
Yeah.
That Power of My Love, I wouldn't say that's a top 10 Elvis song for me in general.
It's not one that I really think of.
It's good.
Yeah.
But Jack White did something to that song that holy shit.
I love how they go back and forth on it.
Uh-huh.
It's a sexy ass song,
right?
It's fucking sexy.
No, because it's been done before where a current artist will take an Elvis song. They'll do it. They'll have Elvis vocals on it, you know, and that's been done with many other artists who have since passed away. But Jack White added something to that song that made it a Jack White song, much in the way when Johnny Cash covered Hurt. That's now a Johnny Cash song. As far as I'm concerned, Power of My Love is now a Jack White song.
Understandable.
It just happens to have Elvis on it. It is that fucking good. Holy shit.
I will agree to your terms.
All right.
Yeah. Because Jack White has his own goddamn sexy charisma in his own way.
And played Elvis. He gets it.
It was a perfect storm.
Yep.
Yeah, that's my favorite one.
That's a super good one. Even some of the not Elvis'd up songs on there. The Eminem track on there is really good. Just a great soundtrack. A lot. We do get some Austin Butler songs on there that he did as
like
Elvis.
Them.
We get some actual Elvis songs on there.
The medleys from the comeback special.
Oh, I love those medleys. Man.
That's what I've been banging.
Yeah?
Yeah, the comeback special.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
But even in the movie, all the songs are like picked at the perfect spot. They use the right ones. Even getting to see Elvis in concert during the years, you know, and they don't shy away from him letting them do those numbers.
Right.
You know, the Vegas stuff is spectacular.
That is probably in this movie full of all my favorite things, Elvis. That probably, and I noticed it the second time I watched it, that scene of him building that Vegas show is probably my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah.
When he built, first of all, the way he looks, the way he's dressed with that gaudy shit and having all of them together, the sweet inspirations, all of them, and then how he's building that, you know, that CC Rider shit, and he's like up an octave and like just, and his fucking hands and just how he's going through and that, that fucking Elvis shit. That was probably gave me the most joy of the whole movie.
And the opening night, when we get the payoff, that opening night sequence was fucking spectacular. Uh-huh. That's, I think, when Elvis really got in more than any other time in his career, those wild movements, you know, like that were just accented by the wild suits.
Mm-hmm.
And Austin Butler nailed all that shit. Mm-hmm. Nailed it.
There were so many times where I'm like, just a head movement or a whatever. It's like, it was just perfect. It's like, I was expecting that or the way he just floats on the stage. How Elvis, nobody has ever done it that great.
No.
They haven't.
And I'm with you. I like that Vegas bit quite a lot because as much as I love the 68 comeback special and as much as I know about it, seeing it done in this movie, inaccurate, whatever, it was just like, okay, cool. You know, I know this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this stuff to death. Right. I haven't seen as much stuff from Vegas, you know, like little bits here and there, little stories here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I am kind of shocked we didn't get like Frank Sinatra in any of that. He kind of played a big role into that. Like he wasn't initially like the biggest Elvis fan. Like him coming to Vegas, he wasn't a fan of. Also, one other inaccuracy that I noticed, the microphone that Elvis is singing with in Vegas, not a gold one. I know it is because as we've talked about on the podcast, I held that microphone. I'm like, that shit's silver. Get that shit out of here. You fucked up, Baz.
Maybe.
You fucked up.
Maybe he started with silver and he went to gold.
I mean, by year five.
Or was he supposed to? He didn't have it in year five?
I was looking for it.
Oh, well, hell. Yeah. Okay.
Two stars done.
Damn you, Baz! Where the fuck were you?
But no, it was the right style of microphone, at least.
Well, there you go. Well, that works.
There's that.
Yeah.
But yes, that all that Vegas. Plus, I just love Vegas in general.
Right.
Not necessarily now, but that old school
that
Vegas.
That old Vegas. That mafia Vegas was a jam.
Yeah. Also, when the movie starts and Colonel Tom is given the narration, it's from 97, like right before he dies, and they show the International and they show what was there then, and it was the Star Trek experience.
Yes.
And I just thought, oh, how the mighty have fucking fallen.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Elvis is here, and now there's fucking sweaty Star Trek nerds.
Oh. Some shit does change for the worst.
We got two fat dudes squeezing into suits that they should not clearly be fitting into, but one of those is the King of Rock and Roll. The other one thinks he's Spock.
Fuck you, Leonard Nimoy.
I didn't go that far.
Whatever. I don't care about it.
The same.
I don't care about Star Trek.
Oh shit. But yeah, that old 50s era Elvis was or Vegas.
Yeah.
Was something special.
I agree.
I think that's where I'd go. We talked a couple weeks ago where we'd go if we had time machine, like where we would see Elvis. We talked about 68 comeback special. I'd have to take a second trip to go to Vegas. I want to see Elvis at the International.
Yeah, probably so. That would be more of an experience. I mean, the 68 comeback special was what it was, but if you wanted to see Elvis full on, you would go to Vegas. You would have gone to that show.
Now, if you were in Elvis's position and you were wanting to, like, they wanted to sign you to the International for 5 years, would you do that, or would you want to spread your wings and go elsewhere?
I'd want to spread my wings and fly away.
You ready? You ready to fly?
I'm ready to get out of this golden cage they put me in. It was 6 weeks. It was 6 weeks every year, right?
It was supposed to be, like, initially it was supposed to be just 6 weeks, but they wanted to sign him more than that.
Right.
Like, you know, like
three, four
months at a time,
Okay.
You know, like all the artists now that have those long residencies. I mean, Elvis was kind of the dude that kicked that off.
He created that unwillingly.
Ugh,
what a terrible deal.
A terrible deal until you see the fucking baller suite they set him up at the International. I could live there for a while. I'd be okay with that for a while.
I'd rather live at Graceland.
I'd
rather go to Graceland.
Clearly.
And he didn't want to be there. He wanted to try. He wanted to do an international tour.
Yeah.
God. Also, I did not know until right before the movie. I found this out right before we went to watch the movie. I knew that he had never been out of North America. And I've kind of figured it was a Tom Parker thing. But it was right before we went to see the movie, I was looking up something else, and I came upon the story. I did not know that Colonel Tom Parker was an illegal alien in this country.
Yeah.
And that was why they didn't go overseas, because he couldn't go. He would have been found out.
Oh, yeah. He was a shyster from the word go.
Right. And I had no idea. See, and that was another thing, because when I watched the trailers, I was like, that's how Colonel Tom Parker talked? Like, I couldn't place... Well, I guess I'd never heard him speak, or I never really knew that I had heard him speak, and so I didn't know if it was played up, probably.
Yeah.
Again, he's not human in this movie. He is supervillain in this movie.
Yeah, very much so.
So that's probably amped up as well. I didn't know that it was because he was illegal in this country.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, not a real colonel, change his name.
Right.
All that shit.
What a sleazy scumball.
Right?
God, he was the worst.
One of music's great villains, but yet, like we said, still gave us Elvis.
I know.
It's fucked up.
I know. We could have just gotten rid of him at one point, you know, and then moved on. But damn.
So when the 4-hour cut eventually drops.
We're going.
We watching that day one?
Yes. I want to see the full 4 hours.
Review everything.
I want to see where that all plugs into place. Because I know we're going to get Nixon. So yep. I wonder if a lot of it is in that kind of paranoia or kind of erratic behavior or whatever you want to label it. I don't know.
So when you, because we watched Elvis Nixon a couple weeks ago, and, you know, you learned a lot from that movie. You learned a lot about Elvis's just hunt for badges.
Right.
So that scene in the movie.
I like that with the case where his badges are there and his gun's out and he's loading it up and he's shooting out the parent. Yeah. Yeah. That was good.
I mean, there were,
I was like, I know this now.
there were a couple times in the movie where I wanted to just like lean over to you and be like, remember that part? Remember this?
Don't worry.
This now.
Yep. Yep. They were in there. I literally went, I get this now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where do you think Austin Butler goes next?
I don't know. I worry about it. Like we've mentioned that before, because he's so, I just don't want him for this to be it and people just keep him in this box.
Yeah.
Like I really hope that he does a complete, well, he's going to have to do a 180, you know, because I just really hope that he's able to continue a career. He's only 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He deserves a career. He's obviously a fantastic actor.
To
be able to pull that off, he's obviously fantastic.
He immersed himself in this role. You know, people said when Heath Ledger was the Joker, to use another Ledger comparison, they didn't see Heath Ledger. They only saw the Joker.
Right.
You know, we have the benefit of having seen more Heath Ledger performances before that. I haven't seen Austin Butler in anything.
No. I wasn't familiar with him until this movie.
But that being said, fucking wow. Mm-hmm. Like, amazing performance. Absolutely Oscar caliber. Give that man some statues.
I hope he wins some awards. And then when that's over, I hope he's done with it. And I hope he just lets it go.
Yeah.
For his own sake. You know what I mean?
So whether he does something completely different from this, yeah, I don't want to see him go from this to some bullshit rom-com. You know, or even just like a run of the mill action movie. I want to see him do something important.
Right.
You know, like show that the man has skills and range, because he knocked Elvis out of the fucking park.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I read somewhere that Denzel Washington gave him a recommendation to Baz Luhrmann. Or he gave him a recommendation. He had worked with him on something, because, you know, that was down to like Harry Styles, which I'm so glad they didn't do. And I guess another kid and Austin Butler. And I guess Denzel Washington made a call and hyped this kid up from when they worked
together. Denzel.
I think that's what I read.
Maybe Denzel's going to put him in some movies.
Maybe.
I love Denzel.
Yeah. We need more Denzel. Where has Denzel been?
He's working on the third Equalizer movie.
What?
Have you ever seen the Equalizer movies?
Nah, write that down.
Nah, okay.
Nah, write that down. All right. Also, I've never seen A Star Is Born.
Either one. Okay.
I don't know what happens.
Okay.
So. Which is the one in the movie theater that you got pissed off at me about? Mission Impossible. You got so mad. That was the one that we started off on the wrong foot, because during the preview for the new Mission Impossible movie, I just casually leaned over and was like, I ain't ever seen none of these. And you were like, what?
The preview for the seventh Mission Impossible movie.
Right.
And then Michael is sitting right next to us and he's like, I mean, does that really surprise you? I was like, it shouldn't. It fucking shouldn't.
But it do.
The Mission Impossible franchise, very up and down.
Okay.
Very up and down. Well. Like some good, some in the middle, some completely forgettable.
All right.
But I will say that, like, and I made the comment to you because there was a sequence in that trailer where Ethan Hunt, Tom Cruise's character, drives a motorcycle off a cliff and then parachutes off it. And he really did that shit.
Right.
And I was like, man, apparently, like, my life is boring as fuck. Apparently, I need to turn to Scientology. That's what Tom Cruise has made me learn.
When you get that L. Ron Hubbard in you, apparently it just does wonders.
Yeah, I'm just going to hang off the side of planes. I'm 5'2" and crazy. I'm hanging off the side of planes. Look at me. I'm Tom Cruise.
Is he only 5'2"?
Probably.
Oh, he's little.
He's tiny. He's a short fella.
He's trying to overcompensate.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Damn Scientology toting motherfucker.
We got to get you into some Mission Impossible movies.
Sorry to divert, but that's what we do.
Stayed pretty focused today. I'm impressed with us.
We've talked about Elvis for at least 99% of this podcast, which is fascinating to me.
It was so fucking good.
It was so good.
How many more times do you think you're going
to
see it?
Well, I've already made a date with Jimbo to go see it again whenever he goes to see it, so I will tag along. I'll probably see it at least one more time.
So three in the theater?
Three in the theater.
What's your record for a movie in the theater?
Three?
Which one was that?
Oh, no, I'm not going to repeat it because you got mad at me the last time. Was it three or was it two? It was Joker.
Oh, that's
right.
And
I saw or three times. Okay. Maybe it was just two. Well, now I feel like I got to see this one four times and make this one be my ultimate goal. So I'll just keep swiping that shit on a credit card, baby.
That's what's up.
One ticket, one small popcorn, and one small Coke. That's how we do.
Got a date with Kang.
Yeah, I'm going to make it four. I'm going to make it four just because so I can say, oh, the Elvis movie was my number one in the theater. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as that shit's out on DVD, we're buying it.
I will buy this on DVD. Yeah. I really, truly hope we get that 4-hour cut.
We will.
I
think we will.
Oh, I want it.
Oh, you want me to write Baz? I'll write him.
Yeah, if you could.
Okay, I will. I'll write a letter. I'll write him on social media, and I'll write out a letter.
Take the following dictation. Dear Baz, top marks on Elvis. Really looking forward to that 4-hour cut.
Four-hour cut. Okay.
Put that out post-haste.
Put that out. Does that have a dash?
Dash-haste. Sure. Yeah, let's go with it.
Okay.
He's Australian. Maybe they do a dash in Australia.
I'll put a little accent over the E, because I feel like they probably do that there. A
little umlaut. Yeah.
An umlaut. Yeah.
Sincerely, Jack and Leanne, Huntsville Home Video. P.S. Check us out at huntsvillehomevideo.com.
Find us on all the social medias.
Yep.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, which I'm sure you're a fan of, at HSV Home Video.
Perfect. Thank you.
Would you like me to read that back to you? Are we good?
No.
Okay.
I'll listen to it.
Because I don't remember half the shit you said.
I hope to. They don't do this as much anymore, but if we get a big, elaborate box set for this movie that's done up with bedazzlement and jewels and...
It better have a belt buckle.
It better... Yeah.
They better have some belt buckle smiths on call for the belt buckles in the belt buckle box.
You can buy at the end of the movie, we get just this big, flashy, amazing title card that just says Elvis. It's got the TCB up top. Just so many like just jewels and fucking colors. It looks amazing. That belt buckle is on sale right now at shopelvis.com.
Have you not bought it yet?
Yes, I have.
You idiot. You're just going to wear it underneath all your... No, you won't wear it underneath. You'll have it out.
Oh, I'll have that displayed proudly. Jeez, I'm not going to tuck in my shirts, but I'll put the front of my shirt
behind the belt buckle.
Yep, so you can see the belt buckle.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I didn't acknowledge it, but I wanted to laugh at you because you wore your big TCB ring to the show.
I sure did.
Motherfucker came in with a damn TCB button-up shirt on and a fucking ring the size of my fucking noggin. And I thought, I'm not acknowledging this motherfucker.
I caught that. I also came into the game with the ring on my left hand. Had to move it over to the right because I had to reach in. I always keep my wallet in my left pocket, and I had to reach into that a couple times. I'm like, how did Elvis do this shit? He probably didn't carry a wallet.
No, he wasn't reaching in no pockets.
Yeah, he wouldn't reach in no pocket. But then I had to put it over on the right. You were sitting on my right. There were a couple times where I just when I was trying to hide the face from me crying, and I had the ring. I'm like,
oh,
you,
That's when the light was catching me in my eye and blinding me. That's what that was. It was the reflection off of your damn ring.
Because there were some fucking jewels on that son of a bitch.
It was bright.
It is an exact replica of Elvis's ring. They have that ring at Graceland, the real one. Uh-huh. And I've held the replica side by side. And I was like, holy shit, Elvis, you fucking madman. You went to a jeweler and said, make this. And he made it. And it was spectacular. And you wore that daily.
He was a young rapper before that culture took off.
Right? One more thing you can thank Elvis for.
Right?
Fuck.
Gaudy accoutrements.
Yeah, all of those, all of that ring is on display at Graceland. His gold phone. In the movie, you see his gold-plated toothbrush.
Yeah. I didn't catch that till the second time because that's when I went and took a pee break. I didn't have a pee break the second time, so that filled in the gaps. I was like, oh, I see what happened here in this little moment. Yeah. Oh, now I understand.
Because even though it's not the four-hour cut, it is still about 2:45.
Yeah.
It is still a long movie.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't feel that way.
No, it does not feel like it, and it didn't feel like it the second time either. No. It doesn't.
No.
I don't know if this is, again, it is fast, but I don't feel like I get jerked around by the pacing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I do feel like it's fast and then it slows down, but it's like I don't get thrown off by that, you know?
No, and you know, like we talked about, we know a bit about Elvis. So going in when, you know, they're hitting all these notes.
Right.
I was like, okay, yeah, this is where we're going here. Okay, yeah, and doing this. Okay, yeah, doing that. You know, very good, very well paced.
Mm-hmm.
I think to someone like Michael from Underboss Photography, like we mentioned earlier, who doesn't know anything about the King, you're going to learn a lot.
Right.
You're going to see some things that you probably didn't know. Maybe you've heard about, maybe mm-hmm. you've never heard about. Mm-hmm. Maybe you just listened to a couple chuckleheads talking about Elvis for the last month and you're like, fuck. All right, guys. All right, fine.
Right.
I'll go see this fucking movie.
Right.
Just know that from two Elvis fans, we love the movie. From someone who likes Elvis but doesn't know anything about it, Michael from Underboss Photography, he loved the movie as well. Went to it a second time as well.
Brought his old lady
to it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to bring Rachel to it. She was working on Thursday when we went, so we're going to hopefully hit it up here soon.
Does she want to see it?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. We'll make her.
And if she doesn't, wrap across the beak.
Bang zoom to the moon, that's man. Right.
Especially after this weekend, when it is taking rights away from women in this country. We don't give a fuck.
Please, I'm hearing it everywhere. I don't want to hear it here. This is, I hate to even say this term, but this is my safe space. Can we just not? I don't want to hear shit about shit.
Should we,
government gonna do what the government gonna do.
Should I do 5 minutes on Elvis about Roe v. Wade?
All right, man. Listen here. You know, a lot of people saying a lot about things, man. And I gotta say, the King will be dipped in shit before I ever put a pro-life bumper sticker on my pink Cadillac. It is a woman's right to choose, man. Now look here, I probably have several illegitimate kids all throughout this great land of ours. But anyway, here's CeCe Ryder.
Actually, nice. Actually, I take that back.
Here's In the Ghetto. Because if there's one thing that she don't need
is another hungry mouth to feed.
So abort it.
Abort it.
In the Ghetto was really the first pro-abortion song, I feel.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Right?
That's just something.
That's bad. That's not what that song was like. That's a drastic turn.
In the cold and gray Chicago morn, a little baby child is born in the ghetto. Planned Parenthood.
Shit. All right, enough. I can't take it anymore.
I fucking had to get one more horrible Elvis impersonation out before we wrapped up Elvis month. Come on now.
It's
come on,
great.
E.
It's
come on, E.
Come on, EP. God damn it. Oh, God damn it. That's so good. Please go see this movie.
Please
go see it. If you're not an Elvis fan, but you're remotely curious, either way, just fucking go. It's great.
So here's the thing about this movie for just general audiences. I think if you are a fan of music, you should absolutely see this movie.
Yeah.
I think if you're a fan of Baz Luhrmann, go see this movie. Mm-hmm. If you like musicals, because this essentially is a musical,
right,
go see the movie. If you just got 2.5 hours to kill, if you know nothing about Elvis, you're just like, I'll go check it out. Go see this movie.
If you think Elvis is a racist and have touted that on Facebook, go see the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it clears it up.
Yep. If back in the day when Colonel Tom was creating I Love Elvis Buttons and I Hate Elvis Buttons, and you would have bought an I Hate Elvis Button,
go see the movie.
Go see it.
This movie's for everybody.
It truly is.
I really hope it does well at the box office.
Yeah.
I really hope it does.
I think as of this recording, they haven't released the official box office numbers.
Uh-huh.
For the weekend yet, but I saw it was at, I think, 15, 16 million for just Friday.
Oh, okay.
Pretty good.
Okay.
It's got Jurassic Park Dominion that it's up against, which is in its now third week, and that's horrible reviews. You yourself, not a fan.
Just stab me in the chest.
So that's going down. Probably the most universally loved movie this summer was Top Gun Maverick.
Right.
That one might be moving up a bit, so don't know. Hopefully the king is atop the box office.
I hope so.
This weekend.
I hope so.
It is so good. Even if he's not, I mean, at the end of the day, over $100 of that gross will be from us here at Huntsville Home Video.
It's through. We're putting them in business, baby.
Ooh.
Austin Butler had a video that he posted on Instagram, like a story or whatever, and he was like, just want to send out love this weekend to everybody who's supporting this film. And I was like, me, twice!
Yep.
Right. I wanted to write him and be like, thank you!
Yeah. I don't comment often on anything,
mm-hmm,
just because there's always someone that just, whether they like what you say or not, there's always someone who's gonna be like, oh, well, fuck you, it was blah, 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 blah. But there are a couple things that I've commented on where I was just like, I'm like, seriously, give Austin Butler the Oscar now.
Right. Yeah.
Here's how much I loved his performance. If from now until Oscar nominations, if he is nominated for an Academy Award up against Gary Oldman, I will be cheering for Austin Butler.
Holy shit.
How does that sit with you?
That I feel shooketh.
That's
my friend.
That's next level.
I feel shook. That hit me where I live.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how I feel good about it, but it.
Number one,
it's odd. It's a weird
number
place.
Number one, Gary already has a statue. Number two, I think Gary could have played Elvis as well. Number three,
I don't. But okay,
Elvis, like Austin Butler, fucking crushed that.
There are still some people though who say, "Why didn't you find somebody that looks like Elvis?" I'm like, how much more could he have looked like Elvis?
Like. I don't think.
And I don't think they're real people, or they're just literally doing that to set people like me
just
off.
Trolls. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I don't get.
Because there are not many people that look like Elvis.
No one.
The only person that I have ever seen that has a uncanny, striking resemblance to Elvis was his grandson, who passed away.
Yeah. Yes, very much so.
Like, if you see pictures of him and Lisa Marie before he passed away, you're like, holy shit, did they superimpose young Elvis into that picture?
Elvis.
Like, no, that was Elvis's grandkid.
That gene hit him hard.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think the person who, now I know I watched this when it came out, and I think it was a miniseries made for TV, whatever. That actor, Jonathan Rhys Meyers,
he
looked a lot like Elvis. He really did.
Yeah.
But I don't remember the movie enough to know how he was in the movie as far as capturing Elvis. But he does have that look.
He does. Yeah. I forget about that one.
Yeah.
I think I started to watch that. I was like, no.
I know that came out when I was younger. And so I know I would have watched it, but I truly don't remember it. But I always remember him playing Elvis.
Yep.
That's the only thing I know him from, I think.
Not a lot.
Yeah, But
yeah, there aren't many people that look like Elvis.
No.
In this
but that
world.
That kid. He did.
Like Austin Butler crushed it. Give that man the statue. Give him fucking Emmys, SAG Awards, Oscars. Get him a fucking EGOT. Get them all of them.
All of them.
For this
it's
movie.
It's a musical.
It is a musical.
It deserves all of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Put it on Broadway. Give that man a Tony.
Uh-huh.
Fucking
uh-huh.
EGOT status. Put that shit on a belt buckle.
Right.
Bling that shit up.
I like it.
Uh-huh.
I like it.
Let's give Elvis some stars, shall we?
You know what? Just because of my pure love and all of my emotions, I'm just going to give it 5 stars because I just fucking love it so much. And I'm so glad that the king got the representation that he finally deserved.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
5 TCBs out of 5.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice.
I thought long and hard about this review, like how many stars I was going to give it, and I was trying not to get technical about it.
Right.
Because like technically, you know, there were things that I didn't like about the movie, but nothing that took away from the experience of the movie.
Right.
It's a movie that I loved and I wanted more from, you know, but if we get that 4-hour cut, maybe that will flesh out some of those things that I want,
right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
maybe we'll get more of those mm-hmm. things. I understand that you can't really release a 4-hour movie
you
into
can't.
Theaters nowadays. I'm still amazed we got an Elvis pick in 2022 that's 2 hours, 45 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, all that technical shit aside, like you said, just the emotion that I had going to it, 5 fucking stars.
Yeah.
And make them shiny. Bling them fuckers out.
Bling them motherfuckers out.
Whoo! What an Elvis yeah. month it's been.
It's been a great month, other yeah. than the first week. It's been a great month.
our friend Shane posted a review. He went to go see the movie. He posted on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And he just put, spoilers, Elvis dies, 4 stars. And then my response was, did he though? And then I put a gif of Bruce Campbell as Elvis, like doing the kung fu.
Yeah, I saw that, I blatantly ignored it.
See, I thought you might have. I was gonna tag you in it, but I opted not to. Okay.
And I think I was going to say something. I went, nah, my silence is more potent. And then I just
didn't comment on that. Didn't comment on my ring. That hurts a little bit.
I'm just
trying to
be quiet and reflect.
Trying to glow up over here, and you're just like, no support, no love, no nothing.
I'm sorry.
Huh.
I can't.
Shit. So now we got to go. Like, I'd love to just, like, keep talking about Elvis movies, but Elvis month is over.
Tis.
We're coming up on July.
Mm-hmm. It's hot.
It's fucking hot. July, historically... That's when Hollywood rolls out them big old blockbusters.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them 90s, some of those 2000s blockbusters.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, man, did I... In the 90s, I would be at the theater every Thursday night at midnight for big screen, like big, huge fucking blockbuster releases.
Uh-huh.
I have such vivid memories of... Thursday nights, midnight, 12:01 showings. But now they've since moved them back so far. You know, like we were at Elvis on Thursday at 6 p.m.
Right.
You know, if this were 10, 15 years ago, we would have been staying up late for mm-hmm. this one. But yes, yeah, so many blockbusters that came out during the month of July, like July 4th weekend. That was always a banger fucking weekend.
Right.
In movie history. So I think July... We're just going to roll out some fucking blockbusters.
Ah, I'm sure there's many of those I haven't seen.
There is. you may recall last 4th of July, because we're basically going into 4th of July week here.
Right.
When we broadcast next.
Mm-hmm.
Last year showed you a little movie called Independence Day.
Yeah.
Which you loved.
Did.
Which was great.
I did.
There is another summer blockbuster with the king of the cucks, Will Smith.
Yes.
That involves aliens.
Oh.
That you are familiar with.
Uh-huh.
That you haven't seen. And it's called Men in Black.
Oh fuck, Tom Tommy Lee Jones, bitches.
Hell yeah, Tommy Lee.
I love the ride at Universal. I'm ready for the movie.
All right. Yes, this is a movie, again, you know culturally through a ride at Universal Studios.
I just know they wear suits and they, I guess, fight aliens. They work for the CIA.
And you, too, can fight aliens on the ride at Universal.
You can. I always have a very low score. I don't know what I'm shooting at.
There is one alien. It's almost near the end of the ride. It's on the right. It has a little red star on its head. If you aim for that alien and hit it, you get 2 million points.
I know. Never hit it.
No.
I haven't hit it yet.
Well, be better.
Well, if I went as often as I would like to go, I probably would be better.
Fair enough.
Hmm.
So we will, we've got a little bit through the ride. Let's fill you in on the rest.
Okay.
Let's kick off Blockbuster Month. We're going to do another theme month. Fuck it. We're just going to roll into themes.
Bitches, man. We are killing it.
We are.
Okay. I love a good theme.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there are, oh man. Fuck, so many summer blockbusters. I can't wait to get into a few more with you. But next week, we will be talking about Men in Black. Will Smith did the theme song to the soundtrack. I might be singing it next week. I know that's not a lot of incentive to come back, but...
Are you going to be doing it as Elvis, or are you letting that go?
Ooh, fuck. I mean, Austin Butler hasn't let it go yet. I should keep
it going.
The
movie has just come out, so I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You might as well. That would be a nice little bridge, I feel like. If you came in here and you sang it as Elvis, it'd just bridge it into the blockbuster, and then we can be done with it.
Okay.
I like it. Okay.
All right. Fair enough. So we'll be back next week to talk about Men in Black. In the meantime, hit us up on all those social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, which is blowing up because of that Elvis dinosaur.
That goddamn Elvis Raptor.
Uh-huh. TikTok is loving that motherfucker.
So good.
You can hit us up on all those social media platforms at
HSV Home Video.
And again, our show sponsor, Underboss Photography, Underboss_photography. We are incredibly grateful to have him on board for this show. Truly, truly appreciate Michael hooking us up with tickets to come. Not only go see Elvis the movie, but also to come with us to see them. That was a fun outing to have him along with it. It was super cool.
Yes.
So go give him a follow on all them social meds, Underboss _photography. And until next week, my friends, when we come back to chat about Summer Blockbuster Month with Men in Black, be kind and rewind. Always remember, Elvis Aaron Presley died for your sins, but he didn't really mean to.
What?